Hi. Here you go.
Thank you.
So we started this topic last week, but the goal is that you could come and miss a class, and then hopefully you'll be able to understand as much as you would have understood if you came to the first class.
Sorry.
So in last week's class, we discussed the beginning, the introduction to Yichud. Yichud is the topic that we're going to be discussing for the next few months, probably. And these are the laws with regards to the prohibition to be secluded with another person that it is prohibited to have relations with. You're not allowed to have sexual relations with. So anybody, let's say another, there's a whole bunch of people, but another married woman, you're not allowed to have relations with her. So therefore, there's a prohibition to be secluded in the same room or same house. This is all, we'll discuss exactly what the parameters are. But there is such a prohibition. And last week we discussed the fact that there's no real explicit source. There's no verse that says that this is prohibited. It's really hinted to. But in the end of the day, most hold that this is a biblical violation. It's not a rabbinic violation. It is a biblical violation. There is one opinion which we briefly discussed last week that says the biblical violation is only to actually permanently live with that person. That it's not just like you're in the same room for a few hours, but it's that you're permanently living with that person for however much time we define as permanent, which is a separate question. But let's say a few months, whatever that is. So some say that that's the biblical violation. If it's just for a few hours, maybe that's a rabbinic prohibition. And there are other small nuances that we discussed last week. What I want to do this week, as part of our introduction, before we get into specific cases, is to discuss the reason behind this prohibition. What exactly is the reason behind this prohibition? And we dealt a little bit with it last week. We hinted towards the different reasons behind it last week. So what would be potential reasons behind Yichud, this prohibition? Any suggestions? Why would this be prohibited?
Well, what came up last week was the idea that this is, in fact, offense, so that people don't get into a situation where they're tempted to have improper relations.
So I think that would be the most obvious explanation. That if I were to ask this to you, so the most obvious explanation would be that this is really offense, that you're not allowed to have relations with a specific other specific types of people, let's say a married woman, and so this is really acting as offense. This is acting as offense to prevent that. Now, what makes this interesting, if that were to be the case, and I would also say that the majority of opinions do hold like this, but what would be interesting is that this is now a biblical prohibition, which is acting as offense. Generally, when we think of offense, that there's a certain prohibition that you're not allowed to have relations, and then we create a fence around that. Generally speaking, that's only a rabbinic prohibition. That we have, very few times do we find that in the Torah itself, that on a biblical level, there's a concept called the Torah is telling you, don't do this because you're going to come to do something else. That this on its own is fine. This is perfectly fine. God has no problem with you doing that. It's just that God has a problem with you doing it because it might lead to something else. That is not found very often. So usually the case is that that's usually what's called an Issur Derabbanan, which is a rabbinic prohibition. That's usually a rabbinic prohibition and not a biblical prohibition. So it would be interesting that if this were to be the case, and the majority do hold this way, this would be really an exception to the rule of biblical prohibitions. Although we do find it elsewhere. We do find it in other examples as well. I think we mentioned last week, one of the examples is that you're not allowed to have a cheeseburger. There's a prohibition to have a cheeseburger. You're not allowed to have milk and meat cooked together. And there's also another biblical prohibition to cook meat and milk together. You're not allowed to also cook the cheeseburger. And there are those that explain the reason why you're not allowed to cook it is because if you cook it and it's right in front of you, chances are there's a good chance that you're going to eat it.
Is that a common explanation? You were saying that this is a majority of us.
For Yichud, you're asking about this other example. I know I'm not sure. I know it is known. I'm not sure if you take the numbers of. I'm not sure if it's the majority or not.
But it's still a two-stage. It's a two-stage, because there you say the being in the room is not the problem. The problem is what it could lead to.
Right. And, so it would be the same thing.
Cooking a meat with a cheese on it, you don't necessarily...
It actually says Lot of Hashem. It says the word is bishel, which is cooking. The actual verse says cooking. And the rabbis extend it on a biblical level. They prove on a biblical level that it includes also eating. But then they say that really the real prohibition is eating, and cooking is just to prevent you from eating. Yeah.
So last week we spoke, I think after the class, about the pasuk was sickly regardless that you can't come close. So he said that wasn't referring to yichud, but that was referring to, I believe,
the potentially touching.
So
yeah.
Is that also offense?
That is another example that they give. That is another example that they give in terms of touching. Yeah. So that's one option. That's all one option, that it's offense. The reason why there's a prohibition to be in the same room with somebody that you're not allowed to have sexual relations with is because it's acting as offense. Any other potential reasons for yichud?
Marat ayin.
Marat ayin. Interesting. So he's saying that, Eitan is saying that the prohibition would be that it looks suspicious. So it looks like something strange. It's not that we're actually concerned that something's going to happen. That's not our concern. And if let's say nobody else was around, we were in a world where there's only two people in the world. So then this would be perfectly fine. We wouldn't be concerned that they're actually going to do anything. But our concern is that people are going to see this. And then the rumors are going to spread, and then it's going to look bad.
Marit ayin will be the same as having a glass of water in a non-kosher restaurant with a kippah.
Potentially, I don't know if nowadays.
But is that?
It will be a similar idea. It will be a similar idea. Correct.
And that's a biblical.
I don't think that's a biblical prohibition.
Okay, but
I don't think that's
also not a biblical.
What?
It doesn't come from the Yisamikim.
Marasain?
Yeah.
That it's biblical?
It comes from that pasuk, doesn't it? It's like the one opinion.
Okay. But it's not this, there's a separate, so either it's biblical on its own thing. The concept of yichud has its own verse. It has its own pasuk. Outside of the context of Marasain, of this the fact that it looks suspicious.
But it's not really preventing you from doing something wrong. It's preventing others from thinking you're doing something wrong. It's not a siyag.
You're suggesting it's not a siyag, it's not a fence, but it's maris ayin, that people are going to view this as suspicious.
So?
What do you mean?
So if somebody thinks you're doing something suspicious, it doesn't mean you did anything wrong.
Okay, that's a great question. But we do have such a concept. But I think that's an independent concept.
Right.
There's one concept of Maris Ayin. There's another verse here that tells you, independent of any other laws in Judaism, there's a separate verse which tells you you're not allowed to have yichud. You can't be secluded. So it seems to be independent of the concept of Maris Ayin. But it was an interesting suggestion, and it's a good question, but who cares what other people think?
This is protecting reputation.
Well, it's a similar idea about protecting reputation. Any other suggestions?
The one that you mentioned last week is that it just the seclusion itself is itself a problem in terms of creating a intimacy that ought not to occur. I'm not sure if I'm explaining that well.
So I think what you're trying to say is perhaps. These two people are not allowed to be with each other. They're not allowed to be intimate with each other. So who defines what is intimate? At first glance, we would say intimate means to be physical with each other, to have physical relations with each other. That's what you would assume intimate is. But perhaps the concept of yichud tells us that the intimate could be not just being physical with each other, but it's just if you're in the same room for a certain amount of time alone with each other, that creates a certain intimacy that would exist that's a lot more intimate than if there are other people, if it was more public, than if there are other people in the room. So by just having these two people in the room, alone, in a home, alone, without anybody else there, that itself creates a certain intimacy. Even if they don't do anything. They do absolutely nothing. And let's say we're not even concerned that they're going to do anything. We don't suspect that something will happen. But just being in a room alone, a man and a woman that they're not allowed to be with, so then just being in the room alone is called being intimate. And that would be the prohibition. So it's not just, there's an additional prohibition in terms of being, in terms of having physical relations, that would be an additional prohibition. But even without going that far, that's already called intimate, just by being in the room alone together. That would be a form of intimacy that would be prohibited by the Torah. Go.
So putting an obstacle, I can't remember what that prohibition is, putting an obstacle in front of a person,
in their
path, this might be an analogous kind of situation. When men and women are in a room together for a long enough period of time,
but you're going into, that's the first reason, that's exactly the first reason, that there's a concern that something will happen. Not that this itself is a problem. This itself is not a problem. But it could lead to something which is a problem.
Yeah.
That's similar to what you're saying. That's what we were saying before. Yeah.
You think, I haven't really thought this out, but you might think that if it was a primary problem, not offense, that would denote intimacy and a violation in itself, then you wouldn't have to warn the sota.
You wouldn't have to warn the sota.
I'm not sure. I mean,
I think that's a little different.
Okay.
I don't want to get into it right now, but I think that is a little different. The ramifications there are different. So it's not exactly the same. The implications
are different.
It
seems that the rabbis get excited not just about them being in the same room together.
In which, by the sota?
Yeah.
By the sota, they can't be in the same room. It's an interesting point because we find a similarities with sota, but you need warning there.
Yeah.
I don't want to explain sota right now because it's a whole separate topic. But so I apologize for those of you that don't know what sota is. But we might get into that in the future. But yeah, you also had a question.
I was just going to say that if it's prohibited to have like emotional intimacy with somebody, but that can't occur at the office or in the library, or why it can occur anywhere. It doesn't have to be in a home.
In seclusion.
Yeah.
So that's a great question. I would answer as follows. I would say it's true. It wouldn't just have to be in a home. But the question is, how do you create a law by saying an emotional intimacy of level X is prohibited? There's no way to really define emotional intimacy.
Well, it's the same as saying don't eat cheeseburgers, right?
But that's an action. You're not allowed to eat cheeseburgers.
Yeah, this you can tell this some, is, but people know what...
No, but I'm in a library and I'm talking to somebody. So I'm allowed to say, how are we going to cut off the line and say, well, this is allowed and this isn't allowed?
Well, that comes with maturity, doesn't it?
No, I'm not sure what you mean by that.
I would say that as you get older, you know what you're... what normal behavior would be.
But these laws are obligatory on a 13-year-old boy.
Right.
Yeah, but and even so, that would be very subjective.
Right.
Yeah. It would be extremely subjective. So each person, I would say that everyone in this room is mature.
Yeah.
I would assume such. And I would also assume that each one of us would probably have a different definition of the emotional connection, which is prohibited. We would have a different line as to where that is.
Definition.
Which is why you need an operational definition. And so therefore, we say, being in a room together alone is the prohibition. Other things might, possibly come close to it, but there's no way for us to define and say, this is what's wrong, and this is allowed. So we say...
It doesn't mean the Torah would encourage those other behaviors.
Yeah.
The Torah is not going to forbid them.
Right.
But there's the letter of the law, and then there's the spirit of the law.
When the Torah forbids, they forbid specifically something which we could define, that there's a way to define it. Even for example, lo sachmu, there's a prohibition that you shouldn't desire somebody else's items. So what does that mean? If I pass by a nice house and I say, wow, that's a beautiful house, how far does this go? So there's a definition for the fact that if you would go to the degree that you would steal it, that's the prohibition. I mean, it has to be defined. has to be concrete. So here, this is concrete. This is telling you, in the room, if you're secluded in a room, that's prohibited. But other forms of emotional connection, so it's hard to define. What would be a problem? What wouldn't be a problem? Yes?
I thought he's asking, maybe I was wrong, but if what is the position about two people in the field by themselves? And there's nobody.
That's a great question.
Around.
That is a great question, because the Gemara is going to get into that case. Stay tuned in a few weeks, okay?
Okay. Because it tells us everything. That's
a great question. What about that? You're asking a question. The question is, yeah, is a room important? Do we care about a room? That is a great question, and we'll get into that. Everything we have to ask. What does it mean by a room? What does it mean by secluded? What if somebody else has a key? We'll get into all these different scenarios. Okay, so that's another option. Any other options as to why there's a prohibition for yichud? Any other reasons? Okay, so we'll discuss it. But let's say, is it perhaps yichud, the seclusion, is not necessarily that we're concerned that they would willingly become intimate, and that there's a concern that willingly they'll violate the prohibition of being intimate, but perhaps we're concerned for rape, or the fact that one will force this upon the other because they're in a secluded area. So perhaps that is the prohibition. I'm not saying that is or isn't, I'm just throwing different ideas out there. For those of you that it's the first class, I try to play with your mind, so I'm not necessarily saying things that are correct or not correct. I'm just trying to throw different ideas out there. And I happen to disagree with this last approach, but I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility.
The behavior of people is different when they're by themselves or surrounded by other people. So they are much more aware of restrictions and rules of behavior when there are people imposing those rules around. If you take all this people away, you create a situation where they may not be aware, there's nobody to warn them, there won't have nobody to tell them, and create
this situation.
Right.
Where you're saying this last approach, where it could cause someone to to force another person, they'll be intimate, they'll force it.
They may, whatever action they can have.
Yeah, well, they'll do. Okay,
that would they take if they were.
Yeah.
Among other people.
I agree. That would be the rationale behind this approach. I agree. That would be the rationale behind it. Okay, so in order to deal with... I presented three different ideas of the idea of what would be the reason behind yichud. Either it's that we're concerned that they will become intimate with each other willingly when they're alone together. The second approach is that this is the Torah's definition of intimacy. It's not just about being physically intimate, but it's about, I like the way you said it, emotionally intimate. And the way we define emotional intimacy is when they're secluded in a room together, just the two of them. And then the third approach is that it's not that we're concerned that we're creating a fence so that so that it'll prevent being physically intimate willingly, but that it'll be forced. We're not going to get to this week, but I think next week we're probably going to discuss is the prohibition on the man or the woman, which is also a very interesting discussion. Who is it on? Are we concerned about the man or the woman, or both? So that's probably, we'll probably leave that off for next week. But that's also a separate question that one has to deal with. So I presented three different ideas. But we have to really figure out, well, when we learn Gemara, when we learn Talmud, we have to figure out, well, what does the Talmud say about this? It's not just throwing out different ideas, but really, what does the Gemara say about this? And also the commentators on the Gemara. And so what we'll do is we'll go through different cases, and through those cases, we'll be able to narrow the different options and try to figure out which one it is. Right? It'll get complicated to really figure it out, but we'll try to use different cases from the Gemara. So if you go to source 1, source 1 says, Amar Rabbah, this is one line, but this one line, there are pages and pages on just this one line. There are hundreds of pages on just this one line, and I just want to focus on it for a little bit. We'll discuss this also in the future. Amar Rabbah, Rabbah says, if a woman's husband is in the city, so then there's no concern for this issue. There's no concern for this prohibition. There is no prohibition of yichud when the woman's husband is in the town. Now, there's a lot of questions you could have on this line, but I don't want to get into all the questions. What does it mean in the town? What is it, why only the woman's husband? What about the husband's wife? Why only focus on... There's a lot of questions that you could have on this line, but I want to just discuss the next two sources and their commentary on this line. Rashi, in source 2, is your classic commentator on the Talmud. He's on the page of the Talmud. He's your classic commentator. He says, Rashi says, Bailabir in Choshishalam Mishim Yichud. We're not concerned for Yichud. What does this mean? It means lahalkos. It means to receive lashes. The punishment for seclusion is that you receive lashes. He says that if the woman's husband is in the town, so then you do not receive lashes. You don't receive lashes. Why not? Demistafi mibal hashta asi. You're concerned that the husband will show up at any moment. If the husband is in town, then there's a fear. There's a fear that he will show up at any moment. Okay, so therefore, they do not get lashes. Even if they're in seclusion, there's no lashes.
So what that means is that it downgrades the severity of the fear of the husband showing up downgrades the severity of the yichud.
It definitely downgrades the severity of the yichud. We're going to have to clearly define what happens, what exactly is occurring when the husband's there.
Downgraded to the point that it now becomes permissible.
Excellent question. Did Rashi say it's permissible?
No.
I don't read that into here.
Rashi did not say that it was permissible. What did he say?
No lashes.
There's no lashes.
It's a lesser punishment.
It's a lesser punishment. There's no lashes. He never says that it's permissible, which is very, very important. He doesn't say it's permissible. What is the first source?
Yeah.
First source is the Gemara.
Right. If the woman's husband is in town, there's no concern due to her being secluded.
What does it mean, there's no concern?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
So Rashi's explaining. The second source is explaining the first source. The second source is saying, what does it mean that there's no concern? It means that we're not concerned about the punishment, essentially. It's not the best translation. I agree with you that the way his interpretation of the first source is not the best translation of the words themselves. But what he's explaining is that we're not concerned, we're not giving them the punishment of lashes, but there still is a prohibition. What we'll get into in the future is, well, if we're not concerned for lashes, how could you have this in-between state? If we're not concerned about the punishment, if we're not going to give the punishment, so then why is it prohibited? Let it be permissible. It's an in-between state here, because if it's a problem, so then give the lashes. And if it's not a problem, so then it should be permissible.
Well, that's normal, though. Like, eating non-kosher food below the size of the kazayas, I think, is forbidden, but not punishable.
That is, that's
like a normal thing throughout halacha.
No, it's you're right in terms of that example, but that example is only because it needs to be. Jonathan's asking that we find this in other cases as well, where let's say if you eat a cheeseburger, but you only have a small amount, so then you don't get the punishment. But the reason behind that is because you need to have a significant amount that's viewed as a normal eating, viewed as a normal sitting for eating. In order to get the punishment.
Even if you knew what you were doing?
You wouldn't get the punishment.
Really?
Not. The courts wouldn't punish you. God will have his own way of punishing you. Hmm. don't get any ideas.
No.
That's because we have to have this operational definition of what...
Well, the question is, what is
they're going to deal with, and what the human courts are not going to deal with.
You're trying to explain this right now, or
you're trying to explain both of them.
Well, what you can still have, I mean, why can I'm not sure why you can't say that if the husband's in the city,
it's more applicable to the court.
Yeah,
the
when the husband's in the city, so then fine, so let it be permissible. Why does it have to be that it's not permissible, but you also don't get lashes?
I just feel like if the rule has to be so explicit, then you take away a lot of the responsibility from the adult or. Like if it has to be so defined, then doesn't that it treats people like they really don't know the boundaries at all of normal behavior? I feel.
Well,
maybe that's a bit of a stretch, but
no, there's still
like it's
is.
Obvious.
I mean, seclusion is prohibited, mm-hmm. but there's other forms of interaction which the Torah doesn't tell you anything about.
Right.
So that is left to I mean, that's we're guided by that also. I mean, there's this is a you're asking a broader question, a bit of a broader question about to what degree is the Torah supposed to guide us?
Yeah.
So that is a broader question. I don't mind discussing that with you later, but the Torah is there to guide us. There is still a sense of individuality, but the Torah is there to guide us. So yes,
the whole choice of words doesn't make any sense. Ein
chosheshin. I mean,
ein chosheshin would imply ein chosheshin of the Yichud.
Of the Yichud, yeah.
Yeah, whatever the Yichud is supposed to represent, we're not concerned about that. What Rashi is saying that this we're not concerned about the Malkut.
You're right. It's very lav dafka. It's very not found in the language of the Gemara. I agree. It's not the best read of the words. It's not a good translation. I agree. I think there's something that's forcing Rashi to say this, which I don't want to get into today. We'll get into in the future. But there is something that's forcing him to say this.
But isn't that akin to an instruction to a court? That there are two parts to this. You're talking. You're almost like providing a court an instruction that if that's the case, don't worry about the risk of Yichud.
But don't worry, and it's prohibited, or don't worry, and there's no punishment. I think the simple translation would be don't worry, and it's not prohibited.
No punishment, yeah. But don't worry that something would happen.
Something would happen to you.
No, that something would happen between the two.
Okay, so maybe that might be
so,
it.
So
that might be it.
In a sense, I don't say don't worry about punishment. Don't if you talk to the court and giving them instruction of how to judge something, you are telling them here, don't worry that something would happen. It's a reasonably safe case to assume from there that nothing would happen.
Okay, I might come back to that. It's a good point. That the in choshushin don't be concerned that something will happen. Right? That's how you're translating it. Yeah. Don't be concerned that something will happen. We'll get back to that. It's a great point. So, we will get back to that. Yeah.
So that's kind of broadening the definition then, almost, of yichud. Saying that prohibited couples can't be in a room together unless her husband is in town.
Well, we'll see that there are a lot of exceptions, but this is one exception, unless her husband's in town. What do you mean that it's... this is an exception. This is an exception to the rule. Oftentimes, through the exceptions, we're able to understand the rule better. And so I want to use this as an example where this is a case where we have an exception here. The exception is that when the husband's in town, they're at least there's no punishment. We'll see if maybe... Others will hold that there's no prohibition whatsoever. And through the exceptions, we'll be able to understand the rule better. And so we'll get into that. Yeah.
Maybe it remains prohibited to be secluded. But because there's, according to this first comment in the Gemara, no concern that even if they are secluded, they're going to be intimate, there'd be less of a punishment.
Excellent. I think that's...
two-step thing. There's two ways. This is assuming that the prohibition is offense.
No, I don't think this is assuming. Well, according to the way you're saying it, it's not based on the prohibition.
What I'm saying is that the idea is that the prohibition is to protect against intimacy. But the prohibition itself is prohibited. The seclusion itself is prohibited, even though it's to protect against something else. But if you know that they're secluded, but they're not intimate,
why would it be prohibited? Well, if the whole prohibition, you're now... taking the exception to trying to understand the rule. You're now going to the next level. But I don't fully understand.
Can I try to explain?
You have to ask him for permission.
He's got it.
I worked it through. But maybe there are really two issues here. Number one is that being in seclusion itself is a problem because that creates an emotional intimacy. And therefore, the Torah says you can't do that because you're being emotionally intimate. But that itself, we're not going to give lashes for. What we give lashes for is the actual act of intimacy, the physical act of intimacy.
We give lashes for the physical act of intimacy?
Well, I haven't worked this yet. there's an assumption maybe that when two people are in yichud together, they will be intimate, and therefore that's what we'll punish for. We can't do anything more than lashes.
There's an assumption that if there's seclusion, there will be intimate.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
You can't hide behind it.
So maybe there's an assumption when the husband's in town, then we don't assume that happened, but there still was this emotional intimacy that.
What happened. Could I now explain you? Who's explaining Jeff?
You can explain Jeff.
I'll explain it in a minute. I first want to develop it, and then you're both on the right track. I don't think it's my understanding is not exactly the way you're saying it. I find it hard to assume that if there's seclusion, we automatically assume that they're having that would be quite a stretch.
That's right.
Maybe there's a concern, but as to whether that it's for sure going to happen, that would be quite a stretch. Okay, that's it. This is the first opinion, the first commentary that we saw on the first source on the Gemara. So again, the two issues that I think were raised is that one, it doesn't really fit in the language. The language of, according to Rashi, is he understands that we're not concerned for giving the punishment, but then the language doesn't.
According to Jeff, it would make sense.
We'll get there. We'll get there. I just want to spell out the questions that were raised. Rashi says that. We won't give the punishment, but it's still prohibited. So one question is, well, that doesn't really fit in the language. It says, "Ein choshishim mishum yichud." It sounds like we're not concerned for yichud. So, but we are concerned for yichud if it's prohibited. It's just we don't give the punishment. So it doesn't really fit into the words at first glance. You're suggesting an explanation, but just in terms of the questions, it doesn't really fit into the words. And the second problem is that what is this in between? That it's prohibited, but you don't get the punishment. If you don't get the punishment, so then it shouldn't be prohibited. And if it's prohibited, so then give the same punishment that you'd always give. Why would you differentiate between the two? Those are the two basic questions on this explanation. Now let's see source three. Source three is Tosfos. If you have a Gemara, Tosfos and Rashi are on opposite sides of the Gemara. The Gemara is in the middle, and they're on the opposite sides. They often argue with each other. These are the two main classical commentators on the Gemara. And they often argue with each other. So Tosfos here, I skipped parts of it because I wanted to focus on what I quoted. He says, "Bailabir in choshesh al mishum yichud." He quotes from the Gemara, and he says, "Perish bekuntres." He quotes Rashi first, the previous source, "In choshesh lahalkos." He says that we're not concerned for lashes, and so he spells out what everyone was thinking right away. Mash when we talk pirusha, he says the implication is from his explanation, "Ha'isura mia ikka." There are no lashes, there's no punishment, but there is a violation. It is prohibited. That's what the implication is from Rashi, because if it was completely permissible, so then he wouldn't even say that there's no lashes, he would just say it's permissible. He would say that it's completely permissible, he doesn't say that, so the implication of Rashi is that it is prohibited. Tosfos argues with him, based on a different passage in the Talmud, which we'll get to later, in the future. And he argues, and he says, "Venir lefarish." He explains, "Ein choshishin klal." When we say that there's no concern, it means there is no concern at all, whatsoever, mishem yichud, of any prohibition of yichud, of seclusion, va'afilu isur leka. And there's not even an isur. There's not even a prohibition. It's not just that there's no punishment, but there's no prohibition whatsoever. Okay, so this is the second explanation of the Gemara, which is the easier way just to read the line in the Gemara, "Ein choshesh mishum yichud," means that there's no concern, there's no prohibition whatsoever, completely permissible. Once the husband is in the city, so then it's completely permissible, and this is actually how we'll get to practical cases. But this is, we hold like this second opinion. I mean, you have to get into the definition of town, what does it mean in the city, and we'll get into all that. But this is actually true, that if the husband is in the town, so then we say there is no prohibition whatsoever. But my concern is not necessarily practically, but it's really conceptually. What are they arguing about? What is their dispute? What are they arguing about such that the second opinion, Tosfos, says that there's no prohibition whatsoever when the husband is in town, and the first commentator, Rashi, says that there is a prohibition, just there's no punishment. What are they arguing about?
Emotional versus physical.
Okay, explain.
Fence versus emotional.
Yeah, fence versus emotional, I would say.
Fence versus, is that what you meant by physical versus?
I meant emotional versus physical. Because if you can have an emotional conversation with somebody and not worry that the husband will come back, but you can't have a physical relationship with someone and worry about the husband coming back.
So excellent. So, but no, it's true. But I think that was similar to what you were saying.
No.
Okay. Anyways, but I think what Eitan is saying is that Rashi holds that. Correct me if I'm wrong in terms of what you're saying. Rashi holds that it is prohibited. Why? Because, well, it goes back to what we were first discussing. What is the prohibition of Yichud? Why is it prohibited? What's the reason behind it? So if we start off with the reason, so then we can see why there's an exception or why there isn't an exception. But Rashi could be of the opinion that the reason why there's a prohibition is because of Yichud in general, is because it creates an emotional intimacy. Right? It creates an emotional intimacy. Now, is that emotional intimacy removed when the husband is in the city? I would assume not. I would assume who cares whether the husband's in the city or not. Physically. You know, they're still having that emotional closeness by just being in a room secluded together. Right? Is everyone in agreement with me on that?
Yeah.
Yes. So therefore, Rashi says that there is no prohibition. We'll get to the punishment in a second. He says there's no punishment, which we'll get to in a minute. It doesn't explain why there's no punishment. According to this approach, there should still be a punishment. If the whole reason behind Yichud is about the emotional intimacy, so then there should still be a punishment. So we'll get to that in a minute. But Eitan is suggesting that, and this is also the suggestion of Rav Shach, that there is still a prohibition because the whole idea behind Yichud is about emotional intimacy. Tosos argues, the second opinion argues, and says that there is no prohibition. So why is there no prohibition for Yichud? So the exceptions help us define the rule. So, well, what's the rule? Why is Yichud a problem to begin with? So if you say because it's a fence, it's a concern that they're actually going to become intimate, so then if the husband's in the city, is there at least room to say that there's no prohibition when the husband, you could argue even if the husband's in the city, there's still a prohibition, but is there at least room to say that if the husband's in the city, that there is no prohibition? I would assume yes, because they're going to be scared. They're going to be afraid that the husband's going to walk in at any point in time. So because the husband can walk in at any point in time, so therefore, there's no prohibition.
So you just said emotional versus fence.
No, physical.
Physical.
Emotional versus physical.
Well, the idea, the reason...
It's the same thing.
I think you're saying the same thing.
It's the same thing. If it's a fence, it's a fence for physical.
It's a fence for physical, yeah.
Right.
It's a fence for physical. Yeah,
okay.
It's the same, I think you're saying this, everyone...
Yeah.
It's a fence for physical. Yes.
I just try to make sure I understand. If you imply basically that one, you can prove, so if the husband in town and he comes and you find him intimate physically, that's a proof that they did something wrong. Emotionally, you can't actually prove that.
I don't think it's a proof. I don't think, let's say the husband never shows up. The husband never shows up.
He's doing his thing.
But forget about the husband. Just think about the two people in the room. They are going to be nervous.
Their behavior will be different.
Their behavior will be different because the husband has potential to show up. Even if the husband never shows up, it doesn't make a difference whether he actually does or doesn't. Just the fact that the husband could show up changes the whole situation, right?
No. My point is, the whole argument is about onshin, not about them being together, but are they punishable? You start with that. So the first thing... There's no punishment. You only can punish if there's a proof that something wrong was done. That's my way of thinking.
The punishment is not only in general. Forget about whether the husband's in the city or not. Let's say the husband's not in the city. We will give them the lashes, which is the punishment, even if we don't see that they're intimate. Even if they're just secluded, without actually being physically intimate, we will still give them the punishment. It's not about whether actually we see them being physically intimate. That's not... If they're physically intimate, there are other punishments. But if they're just secluded in a room, they're deserving of lashes alone, even if we don't see them being intimate.
With the husband out of town.
Yeah, I'm saying in a case without the husband. Okay, so I think this is a great explanation that the dispute here is exactly the dispute that we started off with. What is the reason behind Yichud? If you say that the reason behind Yichud is about emotional intimacy... It's not acting as a fence to physical intimacy, but this is just being in a room alone together is itself a problem. not because it will lead to anything, but that itself creates a certain atmosphere and a certain environment where the Torah views as a problem, as too intimate to be with each other. And so the husband being in the town or not, that shouldn't be a factor. That should be a problem regardless of whether the husband's in town or not. And that's the opinion of Rashi. Rashi says that there's still a prohibition. Oh, boy. The second opinion, Tosa says that, no, it's completely permissible if the husband's in town. Well, what's the logic behind that? So that's helping us, based on the exceptions, we can understand the rule that the idea behind it is that it's acting as a fence for actually physical intimacy. If the husband's in town, so then the two, the man and the woman, are both nervous, let's say, that the husband will show up. Perhaps. That's one explanation of this, but there are other explanations as well. And so therefore, that would be the opinion. So to say that there's no prohibition. What we still have to answer are the two questions that we had on Rashi, which is, if it's not prohibited, so then, sorry, if it is prohibited because there's emotional intimacy, so then why no punishment? And I think the idea behind that is that according to Rashi, it's a little more complex. For Rashi, it's not just that there's a prohibition of emotional intimacy, but it's that there are two prohibitions. I'm not saying that both are on a biblical level. Perhaps one is on a biblical level, one's on a rabbinic level. But there are two prohibitions, or there are two reasons behind the prohibition of yichud. And one is the emotional intimacy, and one is the fence that we're concerned that you're going to actually be intimate. Right. You're going to be physically intimate. Both apply, according to the Tarashi, according to source 2. Both apply, let's say. Why is it prohibited when the husband is in the city? Well, that gets rid of the fence. There's no fence. We're not concerned that they're going to become physically intimate, but we're still concerned about emotional intimacy. So therefore, it's still prohibited because one of the two reasons still apply. He holds of both. In your regular case of yichud, where the husband's not around, not in the city, both apply. But when the husband's in the city, so one of the two reasons still applies, so therefore it's prohibited. The fact that there's emotional intimacy, that's still a reason for the prohibition. Why is there why no lashes? So perhaps the punishment is only if there's a concern of actually becoming physically intimate. The emotional intimacy is not enough for us to give them a punishment. The fact that they're secluded and there's emotional intimacy going around, that's prohibited, but it's not enough to give them lashes. Lashes is hurts. But emotional intimacy is a problem, but it's not enough for us to give them lashes. We will only give them lashes if there's a real concern here that they'll become physically intimate. When the husband's around, when the husband's in town, is there a concern that they'll become physically intimate?
No.
No. There's no concern that they become physically intimate, and so therefore, we won't give them lashes. Is it prohibited? Yes, it's prohibited. Why? Because there's still emotional intimacy. And so the second source here, Rashi, the first commentator that we discussed, holds that both are a problem. When the husband's around, it solves one, it doesn't solve the other. It doesn't solve the emotional intimacy. But there's no punishment, because the punishment is only dependent upon the concern that they'll actually become physically intimate. I think based on that, you could then read the Gemara very nicely, according to Rashi. We asked, it says, "Ein choshishin mishum yichud." We are not concerned for yichud. And we asked, well, according to Rashi, where he says just there's no punishment, what does it mean that we're not concerned for yichud? We are concerned for yichud, just there's no punishment.
So
what does it mean that we're not concerned?
You can read it either that we're not concerned for the intimacy, or you can read it that we're not concerned on a biblical level.
You're saying within Rashi?
Yeah.
Correct. But I want to make things... I'll just use one of the two to make things simpler. Okay? So, Ein Choshishin. So how would you understand Ein Choshishin? We're not concerned for what? According to Rashi, according to this approach, that...
Physical.
We're not concerned that they'll become physical, that there'll be a physical intimacy. And as such, Rashi just says, there's no punishment. But he's not explaining the words of the Gemara. He's not explaining Ein Choshishin Mishum Yichud means there's no punishment. He's just saying that as a result of the fact that we're not concerned that they're going to become intimate, physically intimate, so as a result, there's no punishment. But he's not translating the words of the Gemara. He's just saying as a result of the fact that we're not concerned of them becoming physically intimate, we will not punish them. But is there a prohibition? Yes, there's still a prohibition because there's still this emotional intimacy. Okay? So this explanation of Rashi is a bit more complex than just saying it's purely a problem of emotional intimacy. Rashi really is of the opinion that really both reasons apply. Both of them apply. It's just that the punishment of lashes is only given if there's a concern for physical intimacy. Emotional intimacy is not enough for the punishment of lashes. And when the husband's around, so then there's no longer a concern of physical intimacy, and so therefore there's no punishment. One second. The next commentator, Tosfos, is very simple. He just holds that there's no concept of a prohibition based on emotional intimacy. It's all just a fence that we're concerned that there's going to become physical, that there will be physical intimacy, and that does not happen when the husband is in town.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Rabbi Lachman. Because in Kol Shishim, the way you explained the absoluteness of emotional intimacy versus the potential for physical intimacy. And we are not saying necessarily that there is emotional intimacy. We're saying there's a potential for emotional intimacy.
No,
because we don't know. We don't know that there is an emotional intimacy. So the Kol Shishim could equally be applied to the emotional as it could be applied to the physical.
Well, you could just you could translate it. There's no concern for the physical.
So the second, but it could be the in Kol Shishim could be for the first. Like it's, yeah, you have to specifically say for the second.
You have to say that in Kol Shishim means that there's no concern for the physical.
Second, yichud.
For the physical.
Yeah.
For the physical. That's how you have to read it. You're saying, or to say like Rabbi Lichtman.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just explain. Fine. I'll explain what the other approach that Rabbi Lichtman wanted to give. He was understanding, and I hinted to this Rashi that. On a biblical level, the prohibition is about physical, concern that there will be physical intimacy. On a rabbinic level, they added a concern for emotional intimacy. And so therefore, when it says, "Ein choshishim mishum yichud," there's no concern, it means no concern on a biblical level. It just means on a biblical level, there's no concern, therefore there's no lashes, but there's still a problem on a rabbinic level. If you got that, you got that. If you didn't, yeah.
A question on Tosafot. Okay, so even though with the husband in town, we know there's very little chance that there will actually be physical intimacy. If we conceptualize the prohibition of yichud as being a fence,
yeah,
but that it's a biblical prohibition,
fence, yeah,
it's still a violation.
Why is it a violation?
Well, it's a violation of the prohibition against being secluded. Even if we know it's not, even if it's just a fence, and we know it's supposed.
So I think part of that is going to be a part of a broader discussion. Jeff is asking, the Torah said that you're not allowed to be secluded. So the reason might be because that we're concerned for physical intimacy. But once the Torah said they're not allowed to be secluded, so then there can't be any exceptions. The Torah said it, so the Torah said it.
Yeah.
That's what your question is. So I don't think that's true. I think... When, it's a more complex discussion about when we say this and when we don't say this, but when there's a reason behind the prohibition in the Torah,
uh-huh.
So then if the reason doesn't apply, so then oftentimes we'll just say that the prohibition itself doesn't apply. Uh-huh. Even if the Torah tells us seclusion is prohibited, it's not like we just take those words and say all forms of seclusion. If it's seclusion that will lead to physical, that there's a concern that will lead to physical intimacy, so then if there's no such concern, so then it won't apply. Like, we'll see. Exceptions are, uh-huh. You're not allowed to be intimate with your mother, but you're allowed to be in the same room with your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? But it says you're not allowed to be secluded with a woman that you're prohibited with.
Because you're not going to be intimate.
Potentially, because you're not going to be intimate.
To be secluded with the woman, the prohibition is not to be secluded with someone who's going in a situation where it's going to lead to concern. That is the prohibition.
It's a refinement of the operational definition,
yeah.
That is not necessarily obvious from reading the pasuk from the Torah, but is worked out through this process.
Through the Gemara. Yeah. Any other questions before we move on? We're good. We have 7 more minutes. I always like to make up a lot more sources than we go through. that's fine. Okay, I want to get into, we'll probably get into only one more discussion for the next 2 sources. Let's say the concern is not about emotional intimacy, but the concern is for physical intimacy. Okay? So within the concern for physical intimacy, you could ask the following question. Within the concern for physical intimacy, is the concern that they're going to become physically intimate right now when they're secluded? Or is the concern going to be that at some point in time, because they're secluded now, they are creating a certain relationship where at some point in time, they will become physically intimate? Is the concern for right now, or is it the concern for the future? This will have major ramifications.
Yeah.
Major ramifications.
It would change Rashi totally.
Well, it changes Tosafot, because he doesn't seem to be worried about that at all.
I'm not 100%. I don't 100% agree with you on that, but
because if the husband's in town, he says that's a sacred religion, whereas that emotional intimacy may be sowing the seeds for the next time the husband's out of town.
I agree. It's easier to explain with Tosafot to say that it's about right now. Right, because of the concern that the husband's in. I agree. You could claim that if the husband's in town, so then even right now, their interaction will be different, and that will also impact future interactions. You could make such a claim that the interaction, their current interaction right now, will be different if the husband's in town, which will impact future interactions. You could make such a claim.
It's more difficult to divide into two parts. The physical and the emotional.
Yeah, but it sort of combines a little bit.
It just combines.
It sort of combines.
If you're saying it's not the immediate intimacy or the immediate physical, then with this kind of thing, it doesn't matter. It is it is a build-up towards the physical, and even if they know that the husband is not there, these are steps which eventually will lead.
Yeah, no, so that's similar to what Des is
saying.
The
separation between the emotional and the
yeah, so
physical.
It's a great point. You're saying that at this point, if you were to assume that the prohibition, the reason behind the prohibition is not that they'll become physical right now, but that it'll create a certain relationship where we're concerned for the future, then we're sort of combining the emotional, and the emotional concern will then lead to a physical relationship. That's... Right,
even in the previous discussion, I didn't raise it, but I was thinking about the fence. What are you trying to do? You're trying to be both, because one is tied to the other.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. But yeah,
we seem to be talking about this concept of bridal the ear of the husband being in town, that it creates this fear factor.
Is that different.
A universal approach?
No, we'll get to it. It's every. We have to go slow, but we'll get to it. Yeah, there's a lot written on this. As I pointed out, there's like hundreds of pages written on this, probably more. Okay, so is the concern about right now, or is the concern for the future? Another ramification, let's say, is there's a whole discussion which we'll get into in the future about, well, how long, if you're in the same room for a second, is that a problem? So they say. So the discussion, how long do you have to be in the room secluded for with each other? And if it's about being physically intimate right now, so then some of the halakhic authorities say, well, it's about the amount of time it takes to be physical. But if it's about the concern for the future, so then it would be some other time. It wouldn't be really dependent upon being physical right now. It would be, you would have to come up with some other way of defining how much time. It has various ramifications, this issue. So just to quote the next two sources, and then we'll close with this. This is from the Rambam. Source 4 is Maimonides, the Rambam. The Rambam, as opposed to the first couple of sources that we saw, he does not comment on the Gemara. He's not a commentator on the Gemara itself. He wrote a halachic work. And so he wrote an independent halachic work. And so we basically sort of have to work backwards to figure out how we understood the Gemara from the way he brings down the halacha. So he says as follows. Also, lisyachad im erva min harayos bein zakena bein yalda. It's forbidden to have, to be secluded in a room with somebody who is defined as what's called arayos, separate discussion, somebody that you're prohibited to be with physically, whether it's somebody who is an older woman or whether it is a young girl. Why? And so he says explicitly, shedavar zeh gorem legalos erva. Because this leads to forbidden relations. He is explicit. He is the most explicit that the concern here is that it will lead to forbidden relations. It's not about the emotional relationship. he's clear that it's all about the physical relationship, that it'll come to becoming physical. He doesn't say whether it's about becoming physical now or whether it's in the future, but he says that it's a concern that they will become physically intimate. And then he brings down the exceptions. Except for a mother with her son and a father with her daughter and with his daughter, and other exceptions as well. Fine. So he's clear that it's about the concern for physical intimacy. Right? It's clear.
How do you know that forbidden relations doesn't include emotional relations?
The Hebrew.
Oh.
It's a good question, but the Hebrew says legalos erva literally means to reveal one's nakedness.
Got it.
So.
What is the issue of ariot?
What is the definition of a riot? A riot is a grouping of people that you are forbidden to. Usually, most of it is family members and married women, or some or married men, whatever. Most of it is family members. Turning the page, the same Rambam, the same Maimonides, who says that the reason for the prohibition is based on being a concern for being physically intimate, he says as follows: Tinokes mibas shalosh ulamata v'tinok ben teisha ulamata mutar liyasafed imahen. There is no prohibition to be secluded with a girl who is under the age of 3 or a boy who is under the age of 9. There is no prohibition. Why? Shelo gazru ella al yichud isha haru'uya levia v'ish haro'i lebia. We are not concerned. We're only concerned for cases where it can actually lead to physical engagement in relationships. And if the girl is under 3, or the boy is under 9, so then halakhically we assume that they're not able to have physical relations at that age. On a halakhic level, that's how halakha understands it. That if the boy is under 9 or if the girl is under 3, they cannot have actual physical relations. So we are not concerned. He says shelo gazru. They did not. They only said that this applies when there is a possibility for relations.
That means it's rabbinic.
English says our sages.
Well, Lithman now is asking a question of if it's a biblical prohibition, why do they use the language of our sages, which sounds like it's rabbinic.
That's just in English, though.
No, Gazru is also a language of that it's rabbinic. Without getting into great detail, it's possible that he's saying that we won't even create a rabbinic prohibition. Not only is there's no biblical prohibition, there's not even a rabbinic prohibition. There's no prohibition whatsoever.
Here you lost me totally.
No, I didn't.
What's the relevance of this low threshold?
Why am I bringing this up?
Demonstrate about
physical relationship only.
That we got from the first Rambam. That is about physical relationships.
The second one is even more so because.
But the threshold is so low.
And a girl less than 3. You don't have any concern about physical activity.
So the Gemara says that in terms of actually becoming intimate, physically intimate, a girl under 3 cannot actually become physically intimate. The Gemara also says that there's still a certain age where they have interest in becoming intimate. And that is of an older age than 3. That is, let's say, of an age of 9, where they actually become interested in becoming intimate. That's of an older age. Okay? So the question is, why is it prohibited from the age of 3 to 9? Let's take a girl. A girl above the age of 3. Is it prohibited to be secluded with them? With her?
Yeah.
Yes, there's a prohibition because it's only under age of 3.
So they say, yeah.
But
father and daughter, again.
Right. Yeah, except I'm ignoring the exceptions to the rule. But a girl from 3 to 9, there is a prohibition. So the Gemara also says that at that age...
Why do you say 3 to 9? Any girl...
Any girl above 3, I agree. Okay. But the reason why I say 3 to 9 is for the following reason. Because the Gemara also says that, let's say, at the age of 9, under the age of 9, They have no desire whatsoever to be physically intimate.
Well, I read ra'ui not as desire. Ra'ui is physically capable.
Capable, that's what it is.
Yeah. Right.
That's what it is.
So unfortunately, it's still capable.
Okay, so it's capable, and so therefore there's a prohibition as long as it's capable.
Yeah.
Right.
As long as it's capable.
Even in the absence of desire.
Even in the absence of desire.
Yeah.
But if there's no desire, so then why is there a prohibition?
There's desire from the other party.
Is it not?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Slow down. So let's just get the question down, and then we'll figure out the answer. Right? The question is, if there's no desire, so then there shouldn't be a prohibition. Right? Especially according to the Rambam. The same Rambam, on the first page, says that the reason why there's a prohibition is because it's going to lead to physical intimacy. So according to that, if there's no concern for that because she has no desire at the current moment, so then why would there be a prohibition? That's the question. Right? Why would there be a prohibition if there is no desire coming from the child? There's no desire from the child to be intimate, so why is there a prohibition?
There's another party.
Yeah.
There's another party, but that means it's being forced.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what some say. Some say that when it comes to a child, the reason for yichud is very different. This is now a very different reason than what we've been discussing until now. Uh-huh. Very different reason.
Child protection.
This is child protection, which is a totally different reason. Uh-huh. And I would assume that if that would be the case, if that would be the reason, so then you would need another line in there to say, oh, by the way, there's another reason why. The Rambam said the reason why seclusion is usur is prohibited is because we're concerned that they become physically intimate. And you should know, for child protection, a child who has no desire, we still are concerned for seclusion because we're concerned for rape and forcing the child.
All along.
What?
So maybe that's the Rambam's concern. All
maybe
along.
Maybe that's the concern all along. I don't have time to get into that right now, but that was the next couple of sources. Maybe that's the concern all along. The other option, and what this will conclude, is maybe, according to the Rambam, the concern is not for right now. Maybe the concern is not for right now. Maybe the concern is that they'll develop a relationship where, at some point in time, when the girl turns of age where she'll want to have that relationship, they're creating a certain friendship right now, where at some point in time, it will lead to physical intimacy. And maybe, according to the Rambam, it's not about becoming physical right now. They created guidelines, and they said, under the age of 3, where there's absolutely no option of being physically intimate, we'll make that the cutoff. They didn't have to make that the cutoff, but they made that the cutoff, under the age of 3. Above the age of 3, so they could develop a relationship where, at some point in time in the future, they become physically intimate. And so therefore, according to the Rambam, it's possible to say that, according to him, the concern is not for right now, but the concern is for the future.
So the concern should have been even before 3.
Yeah.
No, so it's true. So that's why I'm saying that they the language of Shlomo Gozer is that they created a cutoff. Mm-hmm. That was the cutoff. The cutoff was the age of 3. It's true. They could have made a cutoff.
They didn't have to make cutoff. The leg cutoff. It's always.
It's true. They didn't have to. I agree. But this is actually coming from the Talmud. The Talmud has the same line, but they decided to make a cutoff. For whatever reason. It's a good question. But ignoring that question for now, which maybe at some point we'll get to. But the idea of the Rambam that a girl who has absolutely no desire, there's still a prohibition. Perhaps the reason behind that is because, either you could say because we're concerned that it'll be forced, or you could say, which then we have to deal with that whole issue, which is a totally different reason, or we could say, no, it's the same reason about becoming physically intimate, willingly physically intimate. It's just that it's not about right now, but it's about in the future. They'll create a certain relationship where in the future we're concerned that they will become physically intimate. We'll stop here. But these are just some of the ideas in terms of the reasons behind it. Just to review, we had the first two sources. Rashi and Tosfos argue about whether there's a prohibition when the husband is in the city. That was an exception to the rule, which impacted a lot about how to understand the reason behind yichud is about emotional intimacy, or is about actually the offense for physical intimacy. And then our last discussion just now was, within the reason behind physical intimacy, is it about becoming physically intimate right now, or is it perhaps developing a relationship where you'll become physically intimate in the future, which might explain the Rambam's understanding of a prohibition for a girl who has no desire whatsoever, but there still is a prohibition.
Before this party ends, can I say a quick Kaddish?
Asma Gani is